No cuts in personal taxation, targeted social welfare increases, emergency measures for business. The key elements of Budget 2020 as outlined by Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue yesterday when he confirmed that the government spending plans for next year will be based on the assumption of a no-deal Brexit. Sinn Féin is calling for the establishment of a €2 billion Brexit stabilisation fund to protect jobs and exporters that are most exposed to Britain leaving the EU without an agreement. We can talk now to Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson, Piers Doherty, who joins us from our Derry Beg studio in Donegal. A very good morning to you, Deputy Doherty, and thanks for talking to us this morning. Before we talk about your suggestion for this the use of the rainy day fund, can I just get a reaction to Mr. Donoghue's announcement as of yesterday? Is he taking the correct approach at this stage, do you think?
I think the political and economic environment is that a no deal is increasingly likely, so of course we have to set the budget with those parameters in mind. And indeed, as we've said before, we've argued long for the last number of years now that we need a Brexit stabilisation fund, because even if you don't have a no-deal Brexit, you will have a serious impact to economy in particular regions and particular sectors. And I don't think the government are doing enough in relation to this. And we can see that very clearly when we have the majority of companies that still trade with Britain don't have authorisation to trade with them even at this point today. And more needs to be done in the tempo needs to be raised.
In terms of budget planning, though, is he right to say that whatever social welfare increases might be on the cards, that they would be, he's suggesting, limited and they'd have to be targeted?
No, I think Mr. Donoghue, or Minister Donoghue, it will use conveniently the excuse of Brexit to actually avoid doing some of the things that need to be done to address some of the pressures that ordinary people feel. You know, the feeling that people feel that they're ripped off, either whether it's insurance costs or the high costs of rent or the huge amount that they're paying out every month on childcare. And these issues do need to be addressed. We do need to address the issues of healthcare, the lack of supply and housing, and that can be still addressed in the context of a no-deal budget. It'll be very convenient for him to allow the Taoiseach to wriggle off the hook, because only 2 months ago he was arguing that this budget would be the beginning of a €3 billion cut in personal taxation. Remember the major pledge he gave at his own Ardesh that everybody earning up to €50,000 would be in the lower rate of tax. That was not possible, just like his previous promise of abolishing the USC. So it's convenient for them to use Brexit as a way of not doing things, and we need to be very clear in the opposition that we will not allow them to do that. There are areas of pressure that need to be addressed.
In relation to the rainy day fund, how would you like to see it used? Is there about €2 billion in it at the moment?
Well, there's nothing at the moment. There is €1.5 billion to be transferred in it by the end of the year, €500 from the National Exchequer and €1 billion from the ISIF, the Strategic Investment Fund, with another €500 million going in next year from the Exchequer. Look, we're not alone in criticising the Rainy Day Fund. We've seen the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, we've seen the Irish Parliamentary Budget Office, IBEC and ICTU have all criticised the Rainy Day Fund. The design of the Rainy Day Fund means it can only be used in three criteria. One is bailing out the banks, the second one is major structural reforms such as pension, and the other one is a natural disaster such as floods or something of that nature. It cannot be used for dealing with Brexit, and that has been confirmed time and time again. And that's where we completely disagree with the government. We need to redirect those funds into a Brexit stabilisation fund so that we can have a fund at the discretion of the Department of Finance that can look at issues that will be needed in the context of Brexit, whether that's a job stabilisation fund, whether that's direct supports for the agricultural sector, or whether that's supports for regions that will be severely impacted.
But how might these funds be used? Because you quote the Fiscal Advisory Council, and they were saying only yesterday that any emergency funding that's available shouldn't be used to assist businesses or sectors of the economy that are facing difficulties anyway, regardless of Brexit. So how do you navigate your way through that?
Well, yes, because that it has to be used for the purpose of it, and that is Brexit Stabilisation Fund. So what the Fiscal Advisory Council and others have also argued is, in the context of a no-deal Brexit, when you have a shock to our economy of the magnitude that we're likely to see in that scenario, you need to stimulate the economy. So we cannot allow, for example, certain sectors in agriculture simply to close down overnight as a result of a no-deal Brexit. There will be a need to go in and stabilise those sectors, and they wouldn't need stabilisation if it wasn't for Brexit. So that is in line with what the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council are saying. So we need that pot of money at the discretion, because none of us, at the discretion of the department, because none of us know at this point in time exactly what the impacts of a no-deal Brexit is. None of us know, for example, where sterling will end up over that period of time, and depending on where that rate ends, it could have a severe impact in relation to certain sectors that need to be stabilised. There's also going to be geographic areas that are going to be really hard hit. Like, I live in Donegal. We can, you know, we talk about a state that has full employment. In Donegal, we still have 12% unemployment. Donegal cannot take a blow that Brexit is about to deliver. So therefore, there will be a need for an additional investment, additional supports in terms of job creation, job retention in those areas.
In terms of the politics of Brexit and avoiding what we've been talking about, avoiding a no-deal Brexit, the suggestion that's emerged in recent days of some agreement perhaps in the offing on a Northern Ireland-only arrangement, a Northern Ireland backstop, to go back to use that phrase. But it also seems clear that that would need some kind of democratic control. The re-establishment of the Assembly at Stormont and the Executive to have that kind of democratic input. Now, would Sinn Féin in those circumstances be ready to go back into Stormont to re-establish the institutions without precondition if that was what was required?
Well, first of all, we want to be back in the Assembly, you know, a long time ago, and we had that deal a year last February with the DUP, and unfortunately they couldn't sell the deal. But just in relation to your question, and this goes to the core of one of the reasons why the Assembly isn't functioning at the minute, people need to understand, and your listeners need to understand, if the Executive, if the Assembly is giving the authority to decide in relation to the type of backstop or how long it would last, people need to understand that the DUP have a veto. So even if the majority of people in the Assembly agree that the backstop is a good thing, it should last indefinitely, the DUP can override that as a result of a petition of concern. And that is one of the things that's at the core of the problems that we have with the DUP, despite previous agreements to say that they would not abuse the situation, and this is something that was supposed to protect minority rights as part of the Good Friday Agreement. They're using it to block the type of progress, whether it's marriage equality or other issues where the majority view is. So it is very, very important.
My question is, would Sinn Féin go back in and start to sort out some of those issues, talk to the DUP, resolve these differences, and perhaps find a way forward?
But that's what the talks are about at the minute. That's what we're doing with the DUP. That's what both governments are engaged in as well. These are the issues in terms of the commitments that the DUP gave in the past, that the petition of concern, their veto, would not be used to block the majority will of the Assembly. So, going back to the core issue, should the Assembly have a veto in relation to this year? That translates into the DUP having a veto in relation to Brexit, and that should not happen. It is a very dangerous idea.
But you're still not even prepared to go back into the Assembly unless you get what you want in terms of the Irish language and marriage equality. These are still conditions that you're laying down. Look,
we had a deal last February with the DUP.
Well, that was where we are now.
And that deal would have been very, very difficult to sell to our base. Although we did it because we believe that that's the important thing, to get back into the Assembly to deliver on the ground, but to make sure that the previous agreements, whether it was the Good Friday Agreement or the St Andrews Agreement, that those commitments were delivered upon. Unfortunately, we're not there. We're engaging with the DUP. We're engaging with both governments. Both governments know exactly where the issue is. The DUP are focused on Boris Johnson at this point in time. They're focused on Brexit, and there's no willingness and eagerness. Hopefully, that'll change. And if it does change, and if there's a willingness there, we can have the Assembly up in very, very short order.
All right. Piers Doherty of Sinn Féin, thanks very much indeed for talking to us. It's just gone 28 minutes past 7. News headlines after this break.